We're getting ready to head to Philly to speak with listener Tara about her awesome solo trip down to Walt Disney World over Mother's Day weekend. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. You need a good read this summer. It's hot, and you are looking to learn more about your favorite place. We all love Walt Disney World. We love Disneyland. Let's talk about the man who started it all, and that's Uncle Walt, Walt Disney. Dr. Jeff Barnes leaves many little stories about Walt Disney and what he was thinking when he brought the original theme park to life out in California. On top of that, with Walt's lessons that he left us, he tells us how we can apply those things to our everyday life here in 2017 to improve our relationships with our family, our friends, and even our coworkers. So it's an inspiring book. It's a self-help book. It gets you fired up for life. So check out The Wisdom of Walt. You can pick up a copy on Amazon. All the versions. You can get an ebook, you can get an audio version, soft cover, hard copy. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. So check it out. Get inspired here in the dog days of summer. Check out The Wisdom of Walt at thewisdomofwalt.com. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World, and that's our friends over at touringplans.com. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. I'm at Walt Disney World right now, and I can guarantee you that I'm looking down at my iPhone 7, and I'm using the app Lines to steer me clear of the crowds and giving me the up-to-the-second information I need to keep my family happy, and that's worth $1 million. And let me tell you, this subscription does not cost near that. So check them out today. Make that next Disney vacation great. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1198 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. And yes, it's a bittersweet day today for me because no longer do I have access to 24-hour room service or pizza at 11:30 at night or ice cream whenever I want it. That's right. I'm back on land and I've left the fantasy. I was kicking and screaming, but the podcast cruise did come to an end. I'm sure that we had a great time. We're recording this a little bit early, but I'm still down at Walt Disney World. So what can I complain about? I'm having a great time with friends and family all over Walt Disney World. So we didn't want to leave you here without a podcast on a Monday. The only way to get started with a work week is to have a trip report. So we're going to head to Philly with listener Tara. Thanks for joining us today, Tara. Hope you're doing great.
I am. Thank you so much for having me.
No pressure, but you got to keep the spirits up because, all these folks that listen to the show are now off the fantasy and, you got to help us hang in there. This is not a good time.
I totally understand.
We'll make it.
If I don't have my next Disney trip booked, I am like in major withdrawal mode.
So true. So that's why I book into cruise, because I have to go down a couple days just so I don't miss the ship. Pam always says don't fly in the day before or the day of. So I take that to the nth degree and say, I think we need to be there like 6 days before just to be safe. And then, stay for a week after. So I'm taking up residency in Florida right about now. But that's what you do. Anyway, enough about that. Let's talk about your trip. So when did you go and what are we talking about today?
Well, I actually went last month, well, in May, actually, it was my Mother's Day gift, and I got to go with my best friend and leave my two small kids at home. And my three-year-old daughter actually still does not know this trip happened because I think she would be heartbroken. So we just had to use code words. And it was actually amazing. My friend actually works for Disney and she was going for work and she just called me up and said, why don't you just come crash my trip? And I said, what day and what time?
That's cool,
mother of two also. So it was kind of nice because she and I don't ever get time together, never mind alone time together. And she still lives in Los Angeles where we moved from about a year ago. So, at the end of the day, I was getting 4 sleepovers with my best friend and in Disney. So it was pretty incredible.
So now how last minute did this come together? You said it was for Mother's Day, you know, kind of a catch up trip, leave the kids at home.
Yeah.
Because planning's an essential part of a Disney vacation. And I'm sure you're a big Disney nut. That's part of the fun. So how'd that go for you?
Yes. So it actually came together about a month ahead of time. And she was booking the trip through corporate travel. So like the hotel reservation probably didn't come through until like 2 weeks ahead of time. And I'm just, you know, me being me who planned a family trip for 8 a couple months ago and had everything booked so far ahead. I was like, okay, well, we're just missing out on some fast passes here. So I guess Seven Dwarves Mine Train is off the books. But it actually, you know, I kind of went into it being like, you know what, this is going to be great. It's alone time and it's some time with my best friend. And I'm just going to be low key and enjoy being there and listen to the music and just have a great time. And kind of once I let that go, things like really fell into place. So we still got into Be Our Guest for dinner, which was like a highlight. So I was sitting there refreshing the reservations page for several days to get that reservation. But yeah, it ended up being incredible.
So now where'd you guys end up staying for this trip? Did you stay on-site, off-site?
Oh, so we stayed at the Grand Floridian.
Oh my gosh. Well, that would be on-site.
Yes, it was, you know, we actually flew in on Mother's Day, which was not part of her work trip. So we actually stayed one night at Pop Century and then we moved over to the Grand Floridian. And, you know, I am now completely spoiled at, you know, staying on the monorail. And I don't know how you go back from that. I know it's so costly and, you know, but it's just such a luxury and it was so much fun.
So tell me about the Grand Floridian though, because you know, you say it is a luxury and it truly is. I've never stayed there. I've spent time there. I would think it really does kind of fit the theme of a little girl's weekend, you know, kind of thing. To me, it feels that way. You know, I'm a guy, I don't know. I'm more of a Wilderness Lodge kind of guy. You know what I mean? I don't know. But I mean, it seems like you would have a great opportunity to have a girl's weekend at the Grand Floridian.
Yes, we, you know, it felt very, you know, it's beautiful. It's like very bright and white. We love that we could take like the boat in the morning. So essentially she's an employee. So we would take the boat every morning over to the Magic Kingdom. And I basically got to kind of go in as her guest. So, and then I would go into the parks and she would walk out of the parks and go to meetings and then meet up later. So every morning we boated over to the Magic Kingdom. We went to Starbucks on Main Street. She left and I like beelined it to Space Mountain, which I did every single morning. So the location it was just great for like what we were there for. And, you know, it's obviously incredibly convenient and, it just really worked out for us and it was fun. We walked over to the Polynesian one night and had dinner and watched the new fireworks from there. And then we walked back and we watched like the last scene of the Little Mermaid on the grassy area outside the Grand Floridian. It just was like one of those like magical 4-day trips where like, oh, I just happened upon this and oh, this is like so incredible. It was definitely sprinkled with pixie dust.
when those things happen, like when, you know, like something pops up, like if, you know, I was walking, say, at Riverside, and I saw the very end of, like, Toy Story, because that's, like, my favorite Pixar movie. You know, I'd be like, I always look over my shoulder, like, is there a like a film crew behind me, like, making a commercial? Because, yeah. Like, what's going on here? This is like you see in the planning videos. No, so yeah. Tell me real quick, though, about the Grand Floridian, the accommodations. Here's the thing. You know, you're a parent. You understand how it is. When you go down there, you're probably most of the time thinking, oh, I wonder what this would still be like with the family, with the kids. Mm-hmm. Was it a place that like, I don't know so much if I'd want to bring my kids here? Or is this more just geared towards adults? What were your feelings of Grand Floridian for somebody that's considering staying there?
We did just take a trip with our kids in September and stayed at the Polynesian. So comparing the two, I mean, they both have like amazing art and my kids are 1 and 3. So they're very little. And they both have amazing, you know, splash pad kid areas. Obviously I think the Polynesian is a little bit more family friendly in the sense that it feels a little bit more casual, more vacation oriented, and the Grand Floridian definitely feels a little more, businessy, but I definitely saw a ton of families there as well. You know, I thought I was going to be chill and relaxed by the pool and brought my bathing suit, but I have to tell you that the minute I got into the parks, I was like, I am not wasting my time at the pool. I went on every single ride. I went to multiple parks in a day. So we were at the hotel, but I wouldn't say that I spent, you know, quality time, you know, lounging there.
Which is a shame. I mean, there's only so much you can do. There's only so many hours in, you know, four or five nights, and you just got to make choices. But man, that's such a great resort just to hang out, you know.
I know. It really was beautiful. I mean, every night when coming home was just like, oh, this is so luxurious.
It's like a postcard. I mean, really.
Your chocolate's on your bed at night. And
it's like being on a cruise. You're killing me already. You know, that's what we got there. Okay. So tell us about actually how you tour the park, like how you go about a daily regimen. You said, you know, you got your Starbucks, your friend took off and went to meetings. You headed back to Space Mountain, but what's it like? I mean, because like you said, you didn't have the very, very super structured plan that you might have had 180 days out. What's it like being on the fly and being able to go at like breakneck speed without the family?
It was incredible. I know some people take like very relaxing vacations to rejuvenate, but like I have never felt more rejuvenated than I did coming back from this 3-day trip where I literally walked 9 miles a day.
Nice.
I was everywhere. So, you know, I had never been by myself before. And I just found it really freeing. And I'm not sure if that's because, you know, I do have two really small kids. So it just felt like a great break from that. But, you know, I could make decisions on the fly. You know, I would do Space Mountain and then I ran over to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and I got in line. And then I decided, you know what, I'm not going to spend 45 minutes in this line. So then I went over and watched, you know, Royal Friendship Fair and got to see the Muppet Show and did Haunted Mansion. And I literally could just do whatever I wanted. I shopped. I spent time shopping. You know, there was the second day I was there, you know, same thing, started at the Magic Kingdom, then took the monorail over to Epcot because it was Flower and Garden, which was like beautiful and I had never seen. Beelined it to World Showcase, got in line for Frozen. It was only like 25 minute wait, walked around World Showcase, took myself to lunch in Morocco. Got myself a violet lemonade, then decided I wanted to go to Disney Springs. So went to Disney Springs, was there for a couple hours, went back to the hotel, was probably laying down for like maybe 30 minutes when I decided I wanted to go to Hollywood Studios. Got on the bus, went to Hollywood Studios, did Tower of Terror, did Rock and Roller Coaster twice. I got that peanut butter and jelly milkshake that you guys have recommended in the past.
I'm probably drinking one right at the second as you're listening.
It was amazing. You know, it just felt like very free and fun and very efficient. I was like, I don't know if someone literally dropped an extra dose of pixie dust on me today, but like, I am not tired. I could go all night and I just had the best time. It just felt so great. And, you know, it's not necessarily a place where you think that you would have a good time on your own. But, I mean, I am obviously a Disney fanatic, so it might not be for everybody, but it was definitely for me.
So let me ask you this. You mentioned like you had dinner in Morocco. How does dining work when you're solo? Because I've been down solo a few times, but it's typically a lot of times we're invited to media events. So they tell you, you know, be here, and they have a big fancy dinner, you know, and you're at tables with like 12, you know, it's like a convention, you know, people from other media outlets, you're talking to them. So you're not dining solo, you know, except for maybe they'll say get a lunch on your own or something. So how did that work out for you?
I mean, great. I mean, it was also, you know, mid-May, so the parks actually weren't that crowded. It was super hot. So there was one day I went to Animal Kingdom, and I went to Yak and Yeti, like the sit-down part, all by myself, just because, you know, I needed a break from the heat. And it was lovely. Like, the waiters are so the servers are so nice. They're extra chatty, I think, when you're alone.
Yeah.
You know, I have my iPhone, so I was reading the news or on Instagram. I found it really, you know, really refreshing, actually. I think that was maybe the only sit-down restaurant I went to by myself. In Morocco, I just did the quick service. And then we did do Be Our Guest. I went with my best friend for dinner one of the nights, which was so much fun. So there was like a sprinkling of, you know, we're together, and then I was on my own, and then we were together. So it was really just like a nice balance for each day.
So did you do anything like intentionally to document the trip? Because what I've noticed is when I'm solo, I don't have to worry about, you know, like, oh, I got my iPhone out too much, like you mentioned. You know, I try. You guys know I post a ton when I'm on my vacations. Pam has just given up on that. She lets me do it. And then we have a nice collection of photos when we get back. But did you do anything like keeping everybody in touch back home, or folks maybe that you're friends with online? Yeah. I mean, how'd you do that?
I'm a big Instagrammer. I was like pretty much documenting my every move on Instagram stories.
Well done. I like it.
I think I was like living my best life. Everyone was like so jealous. So I had 3 park days, and the first 2 days I did so much. I didn't think I was going to go to Animal Kingdom at all. And it's actually the park I have been to. I had only been to one other time. Cause we used to go to Disney World when I was growing up, cause I lived on the East Coast. And, the last time I had been before we went on my family trip in September was about 15 years ago. But we lived in LA, so we go to Disneyland all the time. So I'd only been to Disney World or to Animal Kingdom one time before this trip. And so I was just like not really sold on it, to be honest, but I had done so much in the first few days. I was like, I guess I'm going to Animal Kingdom. And it was a blast. I went on Everest like 3 times. Got to do the safari, got to do dinosaur. And then my friend actually got us into the Pandora preview because she is an employee and got some special passes. So that ended up being my last day, and it was incredible.
So stay kind of spoiler free here, but because, you know, yeah, a lot of folks right now are getting ready to go to Animal Kingdom for the first time since Pandora has opened. Mm-hmm. You're a big Disney fan. I love talking to huge Disney fans when it comes to this kind of stuff. So you can compare it to New Fantasyland, you know, some of the newer expansions that we've had in the parks. What were your thoughts? I mean, was Pandora worth the wait, and was it what you were hoping for?
I mean, I don't know what I was hoping for. I was definitely, you know, in the camp where I wasn't an Avatar fan. I was really a little unsure about their decision making on that. And the minute I walked in, I was completely overwhelmed and thrilled with what was happening. It's beautiful. Both rides are incredible. Flight of Passage is just, I mean, there are literally no words. It's breathtaking and thrilling and like nothing you've ever experienced before. We ate at the Satuli Canteen, and that was just really fun. I think the people that work there are really into being from Pandora. And it was really good, and it felt really healthy, which sometimes at the end of the day is just kind of nice. But it was breathtaking. I'm totally on board. I can't wait to go back. I'm actually considering watching Avatar again, which I haven't seen since it was in the theater.
I've only seen like 5 minutes of it. I saw it in the hotel one time. We were hanging out with some friends. But, you know, I love hearing is what you're saying, that in most people, I mean, I hate to say it, but most people that I know are not big Avatar fans, but the folks who are in that camp that, this Avatar, man, I don't know why they picked Avatar, but after experiencing the land, they come out saying, that's pretty awesome. I don't have to be an Avatar fan. It's pretty cool. And I might even want to go back and watch the movie now. That says a lot to me. So hopefully I have enjoyed it by now, and I come back saying the same things.
I know you're trying to stay spoiler free yourself, but, you know, we got in kind of late to the preview before it closed. So we, you know, obviously beelined it for the 2 rides and so I'm looking forward to the next time getting to explore. Cause obviously I've now heard everyone saying, oh, we'll walk the trails. And I was like, oh, what trails? So I think that there's a lot to offer people. And it's unexpected, I guess is the best way to put it.
So here's the other situation I have when I go down for these solo times that I do miss the family. Don't get me wrong. I'm having a blast. I'm at Walt Disney World. You're talking Disney. I love it. It's my favorite place to be. However, like, Disney is such a family destination. I'm not kidding. It's kind of like you said about these like pixie dust moments. I feel like dads and daughters just pop out of nowhere. You know, like my kid's age. You know, like 9-year-old dad and his 9-year-old daughter. I'm like, okay, now you're just punking me because like you're trying to make me sad. Like I'm seeing all these great touching moments. Do you see those things too? I mean, does it seem to pop out to you?
Yes, because I don't know if my daughter got the Disney gene or I have just completely influenced her, but she is 100% on board. That's all she talks about. When we went in September, all she wanted to do was meet all the princesses. I'm pretty much going to, I think I'm going to bring her on a mother-daughter trip in January. So I think I was able to kind of look at those moments on this trip and just get excited about things that we could do together on that trip. Knowing that it was going to happen. And so I tried not to get too sad. And it was also a secret trip, so I couldn't even really, like, buy her anything.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, did you bring her home anything or keep her up to date? Yeah, but she couldn't know about it, so I guess not.
I did. From Disney Springs, I went to the Mini Melissa store and got her those really cute Beauty and the Beast jellies. So it was sort of like she wouldn't make the connection. She's 3.5. But
these came from Target.
So I don't know. I think, yeah, I mean, obviously, like, I can't wait to go back with my kids. But I was also talking to my husband, who's not really a huge Disney fan, to be honest. He tolerates it because it obviously makes me so happy. But I was like, maybe this is like the best couples getaway for us. You can play golf all day. Yeah. I can go to the parks by myself all day, and then we'll just meet up for dinner. And I was like, it was so rejuvenating. I don't even know what other word to use. So I don't know that I might have sold him on that idea.
Yeah, I think you're a pretty big Disney fan because, you know, initially you contacted me about doing a trip report from a previous trip before this one mm-hmm. happened. And I apologize. These things take a while to get scheduled. We have so many people asking. If you ever email, I won't say no. You might have to wait 7 years, but I won't tell you no. But you mentioned how you asked your husband to go on this previous Walt Disney World trip. Now, when I read that, I was like, oh, yeah, we're doing this show.
I forgot. So, I put that in the email.
So I don't know if you want to share that, but that was pretty awesome. If anybody's looking to, you know, get a Disney trip out of somebody, you have a pretty good plan.
I'm going to tell you, it was premeditated. So we lived in LA for 10 years and we moved to Philadelphia to be closer to family. And I was 5 months pregnant with our son. And so being that far away from Disney for me, and not having a be able to be part of our regular lives was a problem. So basically I had decided that when I was in labor, I was going to tell my husband that we needed to book a trip by the end of the year.
That's pretty good.
I did that.
I was going to say, I mean, that's, I just remember because, you know, of course my oldest daughter is my stepdaughter. So I wasn't there when she was born, but when Mallory was born, I would have been making any kind of deal possible at that point. I was getting ready to pass out. I had no idea that labor and delivery was so intense. And I wasn't the one having the kid. They were giving me ice. You know, I was like, oh, it's hot in here. I can't take it. So I'd agree to anything. So you're pretty smart.
I mean, there's pretty much no other moment in life where you are so deserving of whatever you want. And that's what I wanted. It's pretty much always what I want. If anyone asks me what I want to do, that's what I want to do. So,
oh, that's awesome. So now let me ask you about the previous trips though. What are some memories that you have from going to, you know, you grew up at Disneyland out on the West Coast, but Walt Disney World specifically, I mean, is there anything, because as we kind of get this, you know, those of us that are lucky enough to get to go multiple times, you start to build up basically kind of like a library of amazing memories, you know, and you can remember that time, that place, that day, how it smelled, how, you know, it was 92 degrees, how the sun was beating on your shoulders. But do you have any memories that really stick out from Walt Disney World that, you know, might make somebody's Monday here?
Yes, we went to Cinderella's Royal Table, obviously mainly for my daughter. My son was like 7 months at the time. And this trip was actually super special because we went with both sets of grandparents. And it was my mom's birthday that day. It was our first day in the park. So this is, my daughter had been to Disneyland, but it's questionable if she'd remembered it. So she was just like on cloud nine. So here we are in Cinderella's castle eating dinner and, you know, the princesses start to come by and Snow White comes by and, you know, she looks at my son and I think my mother-in-law was holding him and she just plants a huge kiss on his forehead, like lipstick print, like first kiss. And everyone in the restaurant was going crazy for it. Everyone was like asking to take pictures of him, which, you know, okay. But it was just like the sweetest possible moment for me. She's also my favorite princess. So it was just kind of one of those moments that I will, like, I don't think any of us will ever forget. It was very sweet. And just to be there with everyone, and to get to experience it for the first time with my kids. I think that's what I've loved about Disney the most, is getting to relive all of those nostalgic moments through my kids' new experiences, and really getting to share that with me and really getting to be excited with them about things that I love too. So it was very special.
And it's amazing. I can tell you, because, you know, I'm kind of on the other side of it now with Paige being in college and mm-hmm. Mallory being 9, that obviously Disney has been a part of their lives, just like Disney's going to be a part of your kids' lives. But, you know, we look back, and now that Paige is 20, you know, we have all these memories still of when she was 6, you know, and 5 and 8. And we talk about, you know, that trip that we went down together for Halloween, just her and I. And, you know, Mallory talks about her first 5K. And the thing is, you're going to have exactly that. And it sounds like, you know, you're seeing it really early on. But I mean, you know, I'm excited for you, because I know as a Disney fan, like, the best is yet to come with your kids and your family at the Disney destinations. And that's really cool.
Yeah, I am really excited. But I do want to get my daughter there sooner rather than later, because I feel like that very magical window where it's all a reality. True. I'm not sure how long that lasts. Like, obviously Disney will always be fun, but, you know, she would spend the whole day sitting in Gaston's Tavern thinking it was just like the best thing ever. And, you know, and just seeing Gaston and like sitting in his chair, like, she just thought that was amazing. So I definitely want to get her back there, like, sooner rather than later.
But you know what? I'm still in that, you know, and I'm only, you know, I'm 22 now. So, you know, I still believe, you know, it's the same for me. I could sit in Gaston's Tavern all day rather than this basement.
Too. My mom calls me like Sparkle Eyes the minute I get on Main Street USA. I'm like, ah! Just like I was when I was 3.
And for our new listeners, I'm a couple years older than 22. I'm 24. Anyway, so let me ask you this, because it's great to have a huge Disney fan right here on the line with me. So let me ask you some of your favorites, just kind of rapid fire. I just love to hear this from people. So favorite, this is if you could stay, no other, just your favorite. So Walt Disney World Resort.
Polynesian.
Nice, good call. What about attraction?
Sorry, what was that question?
Your favorite attraction.
I mean, for nostalgia, it's Small World. I do love Space Mountain.
I love Space Mountain myself, but man, I'm telling you, and this shows that I'm really not 22 anymore. Every year that I go back, every year I complain more and more about how jerky that thing is. I love it, yeah. But it's like, I'm getting to the point where I have to, like, I almost have to, like, you know, ibuprofen up a couple hours before, and then I'll get out, like, oh, I got to fast.
I got off and I felt like nauseous, and I was like, oh, I think I'm getting old.
I know, that's what it is. Like, it's such a great ride, but it does it. It lets you know that you're no longer 18 and can ride that sucker, yeah, 6 times in a row. All right, so how about favorite restaurant?
Favorite restaurant. I mean, I have really been loving Be Our Guest on these last 2 trips, which I know is like kind of maybe everyone's favorite, but we've been for quick service and for the dinner service, and I found that both times it was just super magical and really fun. And obviously the first time seeing it through my daughter's eyes, she's sitting in like the Beast Library watching the rose, like, it was unbelievable. And even the second time when I went with my friend for dinner, you know, when the Beast is roaming around, I think I acted like I was 12 years old. I was like, oh my god, it's the Beast. Seeing Snowfall in the ballroom, I just think it has so much to offer everyone.
I agree. It's awesome. I mean, it's just, you are eating in the movie. And then on top of that, the food's awesome. You know, like,
the food is so good. Yeah. And it's like healthy. It's great. It's unexpectedly great.
That's it. Okay. So a couple other things. Favorite dessert on property. If you could have one dessert from anywhere on property, what would you get?
Oh my gosh. Well, it has to be a churro. I'm like really old school.
You are. You're an old spirit, I think. You know, nothing wrong with that either. Nothing wrong. You know what? They have that new, which I bet you I've tried by now, but apparently Ricky was telling me, and I read about it too, about over at Taste Track, which is a little snack shack outside of Test Track. They have some kind of like churro ice cream sundae thing, which that's destined to be in my belly by now.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that sounds good. I'm there.
I'm in there. Okay, one last thing. How about if you could bring back any extinct attraction, fireworks show, parade, anything like that, what's one thing you wish you could bring back?
Spectro Magic.
Oh, yes. I love the scary clowns. I miss them.
That definitely reminds me of like my family trips when I was like 9.
That, you know what? The way I see Spectro Magic is that's the nighttime parade that was going on at the Magic Kingdom when I was falling in love and mm-hmm. you know, my very first trips, because I didn't go down until I was like older. You know, I didn't go down as a kid. So Spectro Magic, it was, you know, and again, it sounds dopey unless you're a hardcore Disney fan, but right. It was like that heartbeat of the night of the summer at the Magic Kingdom. Yeah. You know, you might not be on Main Street, but like you were over in Adventureland and you'd hear that, dun, 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 you know, and that was just like, life is perfect, you know, and like, oh, I just wish we could bring that back. I love that music.
Actually have another one, okay. The original Journey into Imagination.
See, I didn't see that, so I don't know what I'm missing. Apparently
yeah,
a lot.
Figment.
Yeah, that's true. Figment's there real little beady, but yeah. Okay. So, okay, before we get out of here, let me ask you one thing just for the folks that are planning trips. Give somebody some advice. Somebody is in the same situation you are, you know, a girlfriend calls up, hey, got the opportunity. Let's head to Walt Disney World for the weekend. Leave the kids behind. Leave the husband behind. What's something you learned or something you wish you would have known before the trip that could help somebody else plan a trip like yours?
I actually think the biggest advice was the advice I gave myself, which was basically just chill out and try to just go with the flow and enjoy it. Because I do think that's when those magical moments really happen. And I think it's so easy and so tempting to get caught up in the over-planning of a Disney trip. I think like kind of once I like realized we weren't going to get fast passes, I was like, well, I don't need to go on Dumbledore's Mine Train this trip. Like, I know I'll be back. Like I, you know, and just once I kind of released it, it was so much easier to just like maybe be on the fly and go from one event to another and just really be able to, I saw more shows than I normally do. And, you know, even as a big Disney fan, I definitely get that, like, Disney buzz the second you get in there and you're trying to get everything done. So I had to keep reminding myself of that advice. But it really made for a wonderful trip.
Yeah, that's awesome. But it sounds like you had a great time and you appreciate every moment. So, Tara, thanks for coming on the show, kicking off a week with us. And we'll catch up in the future. I'm sure you have many, many more Disney adventures in your near future, I bet.
Thank you so much. This was really fun. I was nervous, but this was really fun.
You did great. You did great. It was awesome. All right. Don't forget today's show. It's a Monday, so we're brought to you by the Wisdom of Walt. You need a good read. It's probably 110 degrees where you are. Get some shade, grab some lemonade, and grab the Wisdom of Walt. Drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. You can pick up a personally signed copy. Get inspired. Dr. Jeff Barnes, you know, he gives us a good story, but it also is going to help you lead a better life following some of Walt Disney's examples. So again, Amazon, you can pick up the copy there, or you can go to the Wisdom of Walt.com. Stay out of line, see the most amount of attractions possible on that next Disney vacation or even Universal. Drop by touringplans.com. They're there to make your next vacation awesome, and they just have the information you need to make good choices. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com. Don't forget, when you do your shopping online, we really appreciate it when you use our affiliate link over at Amazon. That's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Costs you nothing extra. If you got your Prime, you're still Prime, just like I am. Nothing different, only we get a little kickback from Amazon, and it really helps us pay for the bills here on the podcast. And everybody who has been doing that, thank you so very much. It really does help. Again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. I am tweeting up a storm. I'm on Instagram. So follow me on those two places, Instagram and Twitter, at BeOurGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook group. We'll be going live and having a lot of fun over there as well. It's at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And if you don't mind, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, over on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. When you subscribe, you'll never miss a future episode, and it shows that we have some strong numbers, and we really appreciate that. It helps for discoverability in all of those stores. All right, well, time to cut you loose here on a Monday. Time to get back to work, unless you're playing at Walt Disney World like I am for a few more days, and then I'll be back here in the studio. But we're going to have lots of fun memories to talk about. So for Tara, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.